You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Hello, hello, hello. This is Elizabeth Powell with Tech Trend Investments. Welcome Tuesday.
And this is Joseph Grassa. Thank you for tuning in to Tech Trend Investments today. What a wonderful Tuesday it's been. And oh my God, the market has shaken up. Oh my God, there's so much to talk about today. I'm super excited to get into it. And I believe today we're going to be going over those terms that we talked about last time and really just help people understand how to get back, how to actually get into Web3, because we've had a lot of comments up until recently about getting into Web3 and the barriers and restrictions. And the main thing really right now is the lingo, the little subtle terms that we use from switching from Web2 to Web3. I'm super excited today.
Right. And then also what Web3 is bringing over into Web2 too. We'll talk about that, like AI, utility, new technology that starts in Web3 and then works its way over to Web2 that's going to start moving into businesses. People are going to start seeing different hints of it in their different businesses. And it's like a new marketing ploy almost. It's a new gadget. It's something exciting to bring over to normal brick and mortar businesses or normal websites and adding excitement. Right?
Exactly. All that excitement, the drive, and the missed opportunities that people are not capitalizing on. And although I have seen a drastic spike in the amount of Web2 companies, so our real life companies, the way that we refer to it, and we'll go over these terms a little bit more, but these companies, they're starting to look more and more into the actual use cases of Web3 and how can they like push their business to a broader audience, specifically the tech market, because Web3 is the growth, the birthplace of all new tech and all the new developments of technologies.
Yeah, it starts over in Web3. We have to be faster in Web3. We have to be first to market. And so usually there's a lag time. If you're building something out and you're in tech, and usually building it out in Web2 or in the real world, as we prefer, IRL, right? There's a term right there, in the real world. Usually the lag time, it takes about a year to build out some type of new technology, because there's always meetings to go to, and then you go to a Zoom and you confer, and then you go to GitHub, and then you look at the project, and then you modify the project, then everybody meets back together. And so something can take, that normally builds out in Web2, can take up to a year for the technology to build out. Well, Web3, we have to get things out quick and fast and be innovative and come up with new technology before anybody else does. And so our stuff comes out in 24 to 72 hours after we come up with an idea and figure out a way to build it out. And so it's actually in the market being used within 3 days versus a year. If you wait a year, the technology becomes old and it's already gone through 10 different cycles by the time it's gone into the market. So the great thing about Web3 is that we're bringing in new tech that doesn't exist anywhere else, and we're getting it to market quicker, and then we're bringing it over to Web2 so that businesses can start to use it and have fun with it and add little perks and incentives and great marketing incentives for their new clients or for their customer base, or to be one of like the new kids on the block that happen to have something new and exciting.
Exactly. And like, even the small things, like right now, just because I know Web3, it's so foreign, but it's the building place. It's the home of builders, is what people like to refer it as for technologies.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I think what we find is that most of these like tech people that go to like all these tech schools and they're building all these websites and platforms and different forms of technology, they end up finding themselves building and putting stuff on the blockchain, Web3, for so that they can actually get tests out. So that's where they're testing their product. That's where they're going and saying, okay, I've practiced it, I've built it, let's put it into fruition, let's see how it works with a more techie kind of group. And they get feedback, they develop it, and then they go, you know what, this could be really good in, let's say, a management perspective. They build out a big platform where they can manage people, the HR, all that stuff. And they throw it onto Web 2, and it instantly applicable through AI and all that stuff. And they could throw it into a website for a staffing company, and their product, their overall speed, their time to get stuff done, their efficiency is exponentially increased. And I've seen that over and over again through businesses that I've worked with, but also just around me. I can tell with all these new calendar apps where AI fails based on past trends, and literally some of them, even they'll go and they'll take your locations, it'll geolocate you, and it'll say, okay, you're here every day on Tuesday, what is this? And, oh, you're here every day on a Wednesday, oh, you're getting coffee at this time, let's make a schedule for you. And it'll start plotting out your day for you based on your past trends. So it's all these little things, and people love to see it, and it just helps them figure out what they're spending their time on, what I can do, how can I better manage my time, make it more efficient. It's the little things, and people are like, oh yeah, it's just tech, and it's built and they apply it into businesses, but they always overlook the infancy stages and where it started.
Right, and then organizational. So it sounds key. I know that's one of your favorite things.
It is. I love organization.
Schedules and organization. that's the benefit of AI and Web3 is helping people who don't like organization as much get more organized. Right. And then build out your schedule and build out templates and go into OpenAI and create management and ebooks to help people, structures for businesses, but then also the fun things. And that's the part that I like, the art and the creativity and the technology. And I mean, they could now create new pieces of art for ads. Like before, it would take 2 to 3 weeks. You would send it out to an artist and come up with an idea and then send it out to an artist and then wait for feedback and then send it back to the artist. Where it's great to still use artists as like 3D and animation and all the other fun things, and then also coming up with new ideas. But if you need something instantly, going into ChatGPT or OpenAI or Bing or some of the other ones, you can create art instantly and come up with a schema and an idea for advertising. Or you can come up with new technology or a slogan or a logo or a branding, or even like a key phrase or a term to catch somebody on an ad, or voice. So, or having chatbots.
Something that you have personally developed.
Right. Chatbots. So chatbots are fun too, because a lot of people don't understand, like we were talking about this last week too. If you go onto the website and you go onto most websites and you see that little corner text.
Corner text.
That's the beginning version of a chatbot. And then now chatbots are more advanced, where they can talk to you in a real voice. Like we have a chatbot that talks in my voice and my personality. And then, well, if you program the chatbot to understand key things about your business, it can respond about your business and answer questions. Or if you want it to know more information and like focus on something, so say it focuses on rocket ships, and so all the different types of rocket ships, or Tesla or SpaceX or whatever it wants to focus on, it can respond to you in that. It can be funny, it can make jokes with you, it can be sarcastic, but you have to tone it down if it's on a business. It can be flirtatious. I have a couple chat bots that are flirtatious. They can come back in a text, or they can come back in a voice. They can answer and then prompt questions. They can come in and create art for you, or meme generating. So there's a lot of fun things that you can do on a website or in a Telegram or on WhatsApp, so that when you're corresponding with your customers, it's not just the press 3 for the next operator, press 2 if you're on hold, press 1. Instead, it's talking to you and it's having conversations and answering questions and then being intriguing.
I think that's the one thing that I had a pet peeve of too, when I was like just knowing that AI is so much more advanced, and I'd go on the phone with a company and you get stuck on hold, and it's just like, press one to talk to an associate, press one or press four to leave a message. I'm like,
Right.
I just have a quick question. It's nothing hard to ask.
And
I
answer the
don't
question.
just answer my question, and it's available. It's out there, and I've seen it like in full use case, and it's like, so these businesses are so far behind in AI technologies and in the use cases and the development of it. They're like, oh, you know what? Let's just use that. We have this is what's available right now, and they don't dig deeper to find, okay, there's all these other options. I can go out there and just slap on a full on AI talking bot, like make it personal to themselves so they can record themselves and actually get themselves their voice to respond back to the customer, so it seems more personal. And then
Right, and the price that they're paying for, probably for their old tech, is costing more than what they can get the new technology for now, too.
oh, 1,000%, because like if you
And they're
think
paying
about
monthly on it, and they have a subscription model on it, and it's old tech
it.
that's outdated.
So like they're going out there and they're finding the first option they see rather than looking through all the different options that they have and digging deeper into it, because Web3 they just don't bother looking at it. It's like, oh, that's NFTs, the non-fungible tokens. That's where people go and they gamble and lose all their money.
Wait,
That's
what?
yeah, oh, that's the stigma behind it.
Okay.
Because we've had the Stake and all these other gambling platforms that primarily use cryptocurrencies.
Well, we're talking about AI right now
I
first.
know, I know, I know, I know, I know. I'm just saying the stigma behind it. And that's why they're not going towards it, because of all these things that have been developed on it.
Yeah, well, I
They're
mean,
with it.
so there's AI, which is a separate entity, and it can be utilized anywhere, and it had speed of technology built in Web3, but it's independent from Web3, but is being utilized in Web3 too because the speed came faster. But AI is being utilized in everything. It's just low level tech, and now it's becoming high tech. And more
High tech.
advanced. Yeah, it's becoming more advanced. So you can create full business models off of it now. And chatbots is like the lower level, and art generators and meme generators and full business models that will do search and scan and find information for you within milliseconds versus taking weeks of getting information and compiling information and then coming up with a solution. You can get it within milliseconds now, trading bots, haha. And then business model bots, finding locations or travel or information, clothing, anything that you want out there. But that's like its own separate entity. AI can be used everywhere. And but the stigma of Web3 is people think it's Web3 is like a separate thing. That people think that is a whole nother world, which we're trying to give you more information so that people that are curious can discover it and find out more information about it.
So,
Oh, go ahead.
the thought that always comes to my mind is, how can us people in Web3 or people in Web2, how can we better integrate together? Because there's always the gap, as we like to call it, the gap between Web2 and Web3, and these companies in Web2, obviously they don't know where to look in Web3. So, do we want to? Or is it possible for a Web3 group of people, Web3 company, to like compile all these assets, these key assets, we'll call them, the AI technologies, and make it more accessible to these Web2 companies?
Right, that's what we're doing. We're bringing new technology from Web3 over to Web2. We get it tested out in Web3, and then it's faster paced and more people to utilize it quicker and try it out and then see if it works. And then if it does, then bring it over to the masses. IRL in real life.
IRL in real life.
That's our one of our acronyms, IRL in real life. Yeah. Bringing it over, yeah.
Oh, the other one that, in terms of that, is the normies of Web 2.
Normies, yeah. Normies are normal people.
Because Web 3 people do not consider themselves normal, per se.
Yes. But there's so many opportunities. There's so much. Every single, like, we go through a lot of different technological advancements and go through different cycles and different revolutions of technology that change the world. And we're on the forefront of it right now. We have that opportunity. We have that, I don't know. I mean, it's so big. Like, people don't understand how life-changing it is, how much it's going to change the future, how much it's changed the future right now. I mean, like I said, this story, I was like in, when I was traveling, I was in an Uber going to the airport, and my Uber driver was saying, like, what do I think about Web 3? And oops, I don't want to lose everybody. As I'm traveling on the internet right now. So he was thinking that AI is like 5 years in the future, and robotics is 5 years in the future, and everything's happening right now, but it's improving our lives. Like, I'm able to be anywhere in the world talking to all of you right now because of technology. I'm able to travel anywhere and do anything because of my cell phone and my laptop, where if we didn't have this type of technology, we would be grounded and stuck in one place. But this is giving us opportunity and giving us different adventures, and then being able to bring more out there to the world because of it.
I'm evidently bullish on Web 3.
Yes.
Because even hearing that makes me excited. But like, I have friends that I've met in Web 3. I'll preface it by saying that I've met in Web 3 who, they're developers, they're real estate developers, and they utilize AI technologies built in Web 3 to help them in their day-to-day lives with their actual job.
Right.
So it's a lot more applicable to your day-to-day life than you'd assume. And some of the technologies can even change your life for the better and make you life-changing money, or assist you in making life-changing money. There's AI technologies and stuff on Web3 that can provide you connections to people that you never thought you'd get to know. There's so many different aspects of AI tech within Web3 that Web2 would lose their mind if they caught a hold of it right now.
I mean, it would give so many more opportunities if they were able to experience it. Like, things would happen at a faster pace, which also can create either more work or more leisure, right? If you're able to finish a job that normally takes out 8 hours and you're able to finish it in 15 minutes, that buys you a lot more time. But also, by having that, you tend to create more, like me.
Like you, of course.
It frees up more time, and then you're like, okay, I want to create another thing, and more technology. But it also gives you that opportunity to have downtime too. And then we're also international based, because people are from all over the world, and so you have that opportunity to work with people on the other side of the world in a different time zone, and then, or work on California time or East Coast time or Europe time, depending on where you're at. So there's always opportunity again.
Like, you're a prime example of it. You're based in California. Your home base is California, and you go to Hawaii. You're traveling the world, and you're able to still connect with people globally. We're talking to people in Asia, you're talking to people in Europe, you're talking to people in the US, Canada, everywhere. And there's no delay.
Right.
And you and whether you're staying up at 2, 3 a.m. in the morning, although I don't recommend it, not good for your health, but people do it, me included.
Right.
You can't miss the market swings. There's always something happening. There's always a new market, a new group of people, a new time zone that's waking up. Oh, Asia's waking up. Oh, Australia's waking up. Oh, Europe's waking up. And you're catching these time zones and you're realizing it's more than just people in Canada and the US that are trading these. And it's so many, it allows you to tap into so many different markets and so many different, like, for lack of better words, people that can provide you more experience, different levels of knowledge that maybe you wouldn't have picked up on from where you're based.
Right. And learn a lot too. You learn a lot from different people. I mean, it gives me the opportunity because I have devs, which are developers or engineers all over the world. So that do different things for me. I have about, I don't know, 50 of them now. So then they're all in different time zones. So if I need something and we have something going on 24/7 all the time, if one of the bots go down or one piece of the technology goes down, I have a dev that's awake. I don't have to wait for a normal 9 to 5 California time to get something accomplished. I have people all over the world working on different pieces of activity. And then they all have different types of experience too, because they learn different things from different areas, right? Some of them may be learning online. Some of them may be learning education or self-taught. There's a lot of different opportunities. And so by having people international, it expands everything that you have. It expands your work, expands your technology. Right. But it gives you a lot of freedom too. And before, like, trading on stocks and bonds, options and future, everybody would trade 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. because that's when the markets would open and the markets would close. But now that we're pretty much international based and we have crypto opportunities now too, it's 24/7. It doesn't stop. So the peak hours are always whenever there's an overlap in international now versus just a California time. So you have opportunities all the time now.
And I'd say this overlap has become ever more apparent in like the past 1 to 2 years, because I think when Web3 started, it was more of a US trend.
Yeah.
And it was all of Asia and Europe and we'll say the whole globe was kind of on their own time. They're like, oh, you know what? I'm going to stick to trading just Ethereum, like base level Ethereum, base level Bitcoin, and just the stables. And then the US is like, let's dig in deeper. Let's dive in. Let's trade NFTs. Let's go meme coins. Let's go altcoins. And then as of recently, you start seeing all these other markets start funneling their way in. And I don't even think it's finished yet. I think it's still the beginning of it. I don't think Asia is fully tapped into the meme coins or the NFTs yet.
We're building out new stuff too. We're building out new types of tokens and new types of trading. Do your own research. This is not financial advice. This is educational purposes only. disclaimer. But it's fun when you start to see people talk about it on like TV or TV shows, or you see it on like walking down the hallway somewhere and you hear conversations of people talking about it. I mean, that's exciting because before it was just kind of underground. Like it wasn't that many people knew about it or were excited, and it's filtering its way over, which is exciting. And by expanding and it's global and more people are coming on board, it's creating a lot more abundance, a lot more, you know, fun in Web3.
Yeah, like getting in an Uber in Hawaii and having somebody ask you questions about cryptocurrencies, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, I think the fun thing was, is a guy, maybe he'll hear this. He was telling me that he thought a certain crypto was going to go down and it rallied like 40% up in the next 24 to 48 hours when I told him it was on a green trend up. And he's like, no, it's going to go down. It's not going to hold the price. And then in 24 to 48 hours, I think it went up 40% on it.
That person definitely had some copium afterwards.
Okay, let's give some slang terms since we've already said about 10.
I know. Okay, I know you have a list ready.
Well, we said IRL, so in real life. Life, yeah. And then you just mentioned one too, and
copium.
Well, okay, that one too. So tell them what copium is.
Copium is when you missed out on a play or faded it, and you're coping, meaning you're trying to live with the fact that you missed it.
You basically blew it, didn't catch it. Catching it means getting it.
That's another term, yeah.
Catching. So catching is like a play. So if in a play, so that's another word too, right? Our whole entire language is probably in slang on Web3.
It's like so cryptic at this point.
Right. So a play is when you enter into a trade and it's kind of like playing baseball, right? It's a play. So it's the actual event. So a play is entering into a trade. And so entering into a trade means that you'll buy at a certain price and then you'll exit at a certain price. So that's a play. You enter into a trade and you buy at that price and you exit at that price. So it's like an event. It becomes a play. And catching it means that you caught it. That means that you got the good entry price, like one of the lowest entry prices. And then catching it, like catching a wave. So you caught the low price. And then exiting means that you sell off at the highest price or a good price on profit. I know that we take these words for granted on what we say, but explaining them out, I understand that they're very slang.
They're very, very slang. And mm-hmm. we don't realize it because we've kind of just we've conformed to it over the years. And I was like, okay, it's just our language.
And then that's it comes over into the real world, and then we end up speaking that way, and people are like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, like when I first went to my parents, and I'm like, oh, I caught this play. And he's like, you what? You caught it? Like, you grabbed it? And I'm like, no, I caught it. And then you have to explain. And when you catch something, it's when you jump in and you notice it before other people, you get in and you're like, you buy into the project, you buy into the token, whatever it be.
The investment.
Right? You saw it. You saw it, and then you're like, okay, yeah, I caught that. And then he goes, oh, okay. And the next time the next morning he went to me and goes, oh, so did you catch another play?
How cute is that?
So it doesn't take long to understand it.
Right.
It's just being introduced to them and to be given that first kind of like.
Or green candles. So green candles too is. No. Is a chart that has green means it's in the positive and it's going up. So it's green candles. That's another thing. So you catch a play, you enter at a low amount, you buy and enter low, and then it has green candles. So it means the chart's going up green. And so you see green on the chart. Those are called candles. And then you exit before it turns red. And red means that the chart's going down and that the investment price is going down. So you're catching a play with green candles on the way up. So when we are explaining probably everybody how to trade, we're talking green candles and chart and green up. And that was probably very foreign to everyone.
It definitely was. You know what? I think
so you have to go back and listen to all of our past ones. And now you'll probably understand what we were talking about a little bit more.
They're like, yeah, okay, now I get this.
Right. But it's fun. I mean, like I said before, when I got into crypto, people were telling me to open a wallet and I had no clue what a wallet was. Like it took me a couple months just to figure out what a wallet was. And I was even asking people that were heavily involved in crypto. I'm like, what's a wallet? How do you do a wallet? And then they were trying to explain it to me. And I was just like, okay. But yeah, well, we did a whole segment on what a wallet is and how to start a wallet.
Yeah, even to this day, thinking back to when I just first mentioned how to start a wallet in Web3, it's, oh my God, I was a lost puppy.
Yes.
I didn't know where to start. I didn't know where I was, rather. I didn't know anything.
Right. Yeah, and then buying, like, well, okay, I have the wallet, now what do I do? You know, like, how do you buy it? Like, how do you get the crypto? And, like, will it disappear? Like, you're wondering, like, is it going to stay there? You know, but it's just like a bank account, kind of.
Kind of. But very similar. Kind of,
yeah, but it's just...
shows you your balances, your private transactions.
Right. But, yeah. And then executing, like, making sure how fast it would go, and... there's a lag time depending on what one you're using. If you're using Coinbase or MetaMask, there's a lag time. Coinbase lag, takes forever.
Lag being the time, like the gap in time between doing something and an action taking place.
Thank you. The delay. Lag. Well, I mean, like, people are gamers. Well, maybe not everybody listening to us is a gamer. So the lag. Yeah, lag is from the time that you execute something till it completes it. So the difference in time. And if it takes longer, there's lag. And puppies. and then let's see what else we have. FOMO, fear of missing out. So everybody's listening right now has a fear of missing out if they don't get all the information and the knowledge right now, this second, ready to go. But there's always going to, my biggest motto is there will always be another one. There will always be another trade. There will always be another opportunity. There will always be another investment. There will always be something else. And most people think that they only have right now, right this minute. And if they miss, then they miss forever. But you don't. There's always tons of opportunities. There's always something new around the corner. There's always some new investment, new trade, new technology, new opportunity is always available. And if you can have that mentality that you're not missing out, you won't chase things. And chasing things means going after something that you might have already missed. It's too late to enter.
I'm stuck on this one term that I think everybody should know.
Okay.
Because I feel like we use it too much.
Okay.
Or it's been more apparent recently, is a bridge. Not a physical bridge that you drive across.
Like, because we have a lot more chains right now. So exactly. Bridge is important. So explain exactly. What a chain is too. So they know what a bridge is.
Okay, so a chain or a separate blockchain is a database amongst, like, sharing. You can share nodes between the computer networks. And what it does is it's like, so there's L1 chains and there's L2 chains. An L1 being an example would be Ethereum. And an L2, an example, would be Base Chain. And these different chains are different levels of the layer one. For example, so Ethereum has Base, and it's just different tools, different APIs, and an API being just an application programming interface for the long term. It's basically an interface that allows you to pass information between, like, for an example, like a mempool, which is also a list of transactions that can be shown. And it's basically just, for lack of better words, we'll say, the bridge between what the developers build. So Base Chain is a new chain that's been built by developers that handles one of the main problems that Ethereum had, which was gas. And
the cost to trade. To execute is the fee that you pay, which is called gas.
Exactly. And the layer two base blockchain, the layer two chain, is basically a gas efficient solution for Ethereum, which is why we're finding a lot more people bridging, taking their Ethereum and connecting it and transferring it to the L2 chain of Base so that they can trade with lower fees.
So I want to just say something really quick. Did you notice? So a lot of us have moved over to Base where we're using Ethereum for trading and Base for trading. And some people are using Sol, because it's more cost efficient on executing. So the gas is our fee that we pay. There goes my voice. but I think that Base ended up becoming a competition, and Sol started becoming a competition for Ethereum to execute and to trade, that Ethereum had to lower the gas prices.
They have, and I've noticed that it went.
They used to be like 100 to 400, and now it's like 4 to 6.
Exactly, 4 to 6 guay. Guay, right. Being the
spell out guay, so they know what that is.
G-W-E-I, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And it's basically the priority fee, or the fee that you pay to process a transaction on the blockchain. So let's say you want to send yourself money, you're going to pay like 38 cents in guay, which is like 1 guay, 2 guay, 3 guay. And if you're going to process a trade, you're going to be paying around 5 to 7 guay, meaning you're probably paying around $1 to $2, because you're also, when you up your guay, you're competing with the priority fee that you get into the mempool, being the list of transactions and how fast yours goes through. And so essentially it's just think of it like a bank transfer, the fee that you have to pay. Right. It's just the fee that the chain takes, the network right. takes.
It's when the fee that puts it on the blockchain, that records it. And so the people that are doing it and the computers all over the world are getting paid that way. And it's the fee that's incurred so that it can transfer. You know, one of these segments, we'll just have to explain all about blockchain, but it's more exciting trading, talking about trading.
Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely right. is. Right. And there's even me personally right now, there's Etherscan has updated it. So Etherscan being the main place where you'll go and you'll find your transactions. So that's mm-hmm. like, that's where you can go and you can find every single transaction for a wallet that they've made, or a contract, a coin contract, or an NFT contract. And you can go in there and you can be, okay, so this person bought for this much and it was transferred to this wallet. And okay, so now they transferred it to this wallet. Oh, they sent themselves money from Coinbase. Okay, so they're a Coinbase user, so they're based in the US. Okay.
Right. So if they're Kraken?
Kraken.
They're Euro. And then if they're the Mexican exchange, then...
the Mexi.
Right, Mexi. Right. Yeah, we can find out where people are located all over the world by what their primary wallet transfer is.
Their primary central exchange that they're using.
Right.
So that's the home base where people go to find out information on wallets and their wallets, other people's wallets, because everything on the blockchain you can see. You can see right. every little detail. Nothing can be hidden.
Right. People think that they have anonymity. They can be anonymous, but wallets kind of tell stories.
You can see exactly where money's going and how it's moving. And oh, so this person sent money to this person. Oh, right. Or is this another person?
Or
is
this another wallet of theirs? Right?
Everything tells a story. And it's always, and I love doing it, but tracking where the flow of money between wallets. So let's say someone buys a coin. I want to find out where they got their money from. Okay, so what communities are they in? I can check all of their NFTs. I can check all of the coins that they hold. Right. I can check every little detail. Nothing can be hidden. And I think even the governments now, they're cracking down on that. And there was a Canadian exchange. I'm Canadian. And they're basically, the government's now like, okay, so if you're hiding anything in your taxes and for your cryptocurrencies, we can find every single transaction you've made, because as you know, everything is visible on the blockchain.
Right. So, but I think they have to look at their tax laws, but I think once you, it's an investment until you cash out.
Exactly.
So just like exactly. if you were in stocks and you kept holding your stocks, you're not going to incur capital gains until you sell your stock, or you're not going to incur a loss for paper or for your taxes unless you sell it at a loss. So the same thing applies in crypto right now, and the laws will keep evolving and changing, but consult with your CPA or your tax person and verify. But just like capital gains, until you sell the house, you don't incur the profit. That house can appreciate and be worth $1 million or $2 million, but until you sell it, you won't incur the capital gains. And then Same thing with any type of investment. Usually it's not until you actually sell and change it into cash that it becomes capital gains or an investment. But yes, we were talking about wallets. So let's talk about a couple more slangs because we're probably we're going really deep.
We are going very deep, almost too deep for just an introduction.
Right. Okay.
Another one that we quite frequently use is DeFi, so decentralized finance. So it's a financial system that does not rely on a centralized on centralized exchanges, being Kraken, Coinbase, NDAX, Mexi, those being the primary centralized exchanges. And they're it's what typically done on DeFi is trading, borrowing, lending, investing. And most popular one for Ethereum being Uniswap. So that's just an example. That's a dApp. And the dApp is an application that's built on the decentralized blockchain that utilizes these smart contracts, which we've already discussed, via like a JavaScript for all you coders out there.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so if you get into crypto, you really don't need to know all this. We're just educating you and giving you more information. But crypto can be as simple as you want it to be or as complex as you want it to be. And then the more you're involved in it and the longer you've been in it, the more educated, the more information that you get and that you understand it better. But it's as simple as just like opening an account with Coinbase and transferring in some money from your bank account or your credit card and then buying some Ethereum. It could be as simple as that. And Ethereum is your investment. And then you stop at that and then you don't do anything else. Or it can be as complex is creating a whole NFT collection with art and launching it and then having people mint it out and buy it from you and creating a whole business model or launching a token that's attached to a utility or a business model and having holders, which are basically the people that buy part of that token or buy part of those NFTs and then they become a community. So it can be as simple as just going to Coinbase and getting some Ethereum as an investment to complex. But a lot of the stuff that we're talking about is like all the different information that's involved. But I know it's kind of overwhelming sometimes when you're just coming into it. But the more that you experience and the more that you learn and the more that you understand, it becomes a lot more interesting, right?
It really does become interesting.
Let's do some fun slang words.
Okay. I use them so much, but I can't think of them on the spot.
Okay, let me see if I can look at a couple of our fun ones that we had.
I can literally.
We have FOMO. We have RUG. We should talk about that. Let's talk about meme coin. Let's see what a meme coin is.
Oh, a meme coin is basically an altcoin, or for Web3, meme coins, because they're primarily referencing a meme.
Which is a funny picture.
A funny picture, a funny image, a funny video.
Something that goes viral, usually on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter.
Or TikTok, for those users of TikTok.
True. And or any other social media that has funny stuff on it.
Exactly. And it's just turned into a coin where people rally behind the popularity of that meme. And they buy into the hype. Hype being the overall market sentiment of specific meme.
And hype is a popular sentiment. It's something that everybody wants. That's hype.
Exactly.
So meme coins are fun.
Meme coins are fun.
Meme coins. I mean, most people probably send their friends memes. You know, they'll text their friend a meme to laugh. And people will create a whole entire token and community around it. And they'll have holders and buyers and people chatting and Telegram about it and making jokes and laughing. So it's not always serious. It's a lot of fun, too.
I think a lot of those people also HODL, HODL,
right?
Hold on for dear life,
right?
Meaning that they don't sell
or hold. So basically, it's a new way to say hold. It means don't sell, hold. but they do HODL. So the acronym, hold on dear life. And then friends, but not, instead of FRIENDS, the slang is FRENS, friends.
The friends of Web3.
And then there's, they'll do tokens called friends.
Oh, God, the one that you love the most, Sir, spelled S-E-R,
no, it's not a joke.
S-I-R.
So there's an inside joke. So the great thing about being in Web3 and everybody's international is when people communicate with you and talk to you, they have their own little slang from where they're from. And so when they want to ask you a question, they'll try and do it formally, depending on what country they're from, which is cute. It's funny and it's cute, but it's kind of an inside joke. So there's the market demographics of Web3 is like 99% male population, ages like 18 to 38 primarily. And I'm a female dev who's into tech and a trader and a caller and an analyst, which is like rare in Web3. And so when somebody comes into our chat group to say hi and they don't know who I am, they'll say, check DM, sir. That's our inside joke. So DM means your
direct message.
Yeah, direct messages. And so they're like, check your messages, basically. And then they're trying to be formal, to be polite, but they're calling me a sir, and I'm not a sir. So they're calling S-E-R. So it's funny. So that's like another slang, and it's an inside joke in Web3. But there's a lot of fun things in Web3. So it's kind of like a combination of trading, having fun, learning how to invest, make money, but also laughing along the way. I mean, you can't take it serious. We don't get enough sleep to take it serious.
Exactly. And something that also, like, to not take something serious or to have fun with it. Probably nothing is a term that most people use. Oh, this coin is mooning. It's probably nothing. Mooning being
and
green
moon.
Candles and it's going up. The value of the token, the NFT, is increasing significantly. That's mooning.
Right. It's like the rocket ship going to a moon is mooning. So you think of the candles are going straight up in the air. So they call it a moon because it's going straight up in the air.
Like the rocket ship. It's taken off. It's mooning.
Right. Yeah. So I heard that we can't always use those terminology anymore because then you're giving financial advice. When they started doing the GME AMC thing.
Oh.
Back on Reddit. So you like officially can't say moon or say diamond hands. So if you notice, most people aren't saying diamond hands and moon lately.
I have noticed that.
Right.
I have noticed that.
Because they're saying that that's quote unquote a form of financial advice, even though it's a slang term.
It's just a slang term. They can't take it as financial advice, but we can't argue what's done is done.
Right. So do your own research, not financial advice.
What
was the thing you
NFA?
Said? You said something's going to the moon. It's doing. And
oh,
you used another slang, though.
It's probably nothing.
Oh, so explain that.
Probably nothing is basically a subtle way of saying that it's doing something.
It's doing really good, but we're just
very
joking
sarcastic.
Around. That it's nothing. Yeah.
We also have fun.
And so there's been a lot of dog coins and cat coins lately too. So that's and they'll name the coins after the name of the pet and then launch a token off of it, which we call those kind of like degen plays or deriv plays, right? So a degen play is like a play that doesn't really have any substance, but they're trying to make it big. So a degen play is something like you're going into something. It's a degenerate, like that's a slang for degenerate. You're going into something that you're hoping is going to turn into something big, but it probably has a likelihood that it's going to fail. It's not going to do as good. Versus if you have something that's really strong and you're entering into it, that it has a higher probability that it's going to do really good. But a degen play is kind of like a higher risk play that you enter in and hope that it'll run, and run means that it will return great ROI,
return on investment. NFADYOR, FADYR, right? Not financial advice. Do your own research.
Oh, yeah. And so, yeah, we explained DYOR is do your own research, and NFA is not financial advice, even though we disclosed that. And then wrecked means that the chart went red, or that everybody sold off, or that it went
went to zero.
Went bad. Which, yeah, zero
another,
means
it's another slang.
Yeah.
When going to zero is when the investment basically goes down significantly to the point of no revival.
Right, or it's not worth selling anymore because it's so low that all you're going to recoup is a couple bucks because you didn't de-risk. And de-risk means that you're taking out your initial investment so that you're removing the risk from the trade.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, we only have like
a minute
left.
Oh my God, we have so many more to go over.
Right, but that was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
We have to dissect every single word that we say in a sentence.
We really do. And I think that's a subtle form of FUD, which is basically a negative, we'll say a negative acronym that describes the sentiment. So FUD being a negative sentiment.
But we'll put out a website that has some of these acronyms and information out soon so y'all can reference it and get the links and get information. But come on and say hi to us on AI Signal. We're always there. And we have new AI tech coming out, so come check it out. Check out the chat bots that are talking, have personalities. Check out the memes. Check out the art. Come have fun. Come say hi.
Yeah, thank you everybody for listening to this week's episode of Tech Trend Investments, and we'll catch you all next week.
See you next week. Thank you.
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.